2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. We are coming to you from Biograss. Hayden Duffin is with us, and we are here today because it's the day that you as a listener get your discount on the big yellow bag. Hayden, one thing I want to talk about, though, is all of your products here are formulated specifically for the Utah climate and soil.
Yes, that's correct. Biograss has spent a lot of time and energy making sure all of our products, basically from sod to soil or mulch to seeds, are developed specifically for Utah's climate. So that really means alkaline soils, you know, clay, really hot temperatures with little water. So, you know, all of our products are kind of centered around what does the homeowner or the gardener need here, and how can we help them with that?
And, Ton, you've actually taken a look at this research before and talked about it.
We have. And so I know several people that work for Biograss, and I've known them for a long time. And Biograss has gone out of their way to hire people that know how to do research scientifically, you know, blind agricultural-based research. And they've actually spent years finding the particular grass varieties and the blends that do well locally.
Tell us about the deal on the big yellow bag.
So our deal is, so usually our bag is $149 delivered, and right now if you give us a call, you can get $20 off your first bag and $35 off any additional bags. You can get that by going to bigyellowbag.com and using the code KSL2021, or like I said, giving us a call at 801-562-9090 to get that deal.
How are we doing on our Instagram contest?
We are good. We have a winner.
All right.
Let's see. Woo-hoo. Who... The gal that won is Krista Prusak, and she gave us a guess. Yeah, congratulations. We will reach out to you to get a free big yellow bag delivered. Looks like she guessed 250, which is very, very close.
So that's how many per, that's per day?
250 big yellow bags
delivered each day.
You got it.
Awesome. And the number for you to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Let's get back to our phone lines. Dan is in Sandy. Good morning, Dan. How can we help you?
Hi, I killed the grass in my parking strip last year. I wanted to save some water, and I just couldn't keep it green. I've stripped that lawn out of that strip now, and just wondered if there's anything I need to do to amend that soil before I put some ornamental grasses in.
Well, it never hurts to amend the soil if you know that it's bad. You know, it's something that you want to do evenly, because if you just put compost around the plants themselves, then those roots have a tendency to stay right there. And so it's either, for that sort of a situation, I would more call it an all or nothing. Now, if it was just the irrigation itself that was causing the problem, because it is hard to keep those green, then you may not need to if you work the soil a little bit. And I think your other critical thing is going to have a sufficient drip system to water the new plants you put in. You may even consider what's called a gridded drip system so that you can just plant and you would still run it less often. But the problem we run into with drip is that as the plants grow, they don't get enough water. Or they clog up and we don't realize it, and a gridded system is going to be less likely to do that.
Is there someplace you can recommend where I could see that gridded system? Does Utah
probably,
State have something?
I mean, there's several places. What city are you in?
Sandy.
So I would maybe look for
a heavy clay soil.
Yeah, I mean, I would look for maybe a sprinkler supply. If it is heavy clay, it would probably be worth incorporating some compost into the soil. But sprinkler supply, Hayden, are you familiar with some other local landscape dealer, or not landscape, but sprinkler supply type places that could show good examples of this?
You know, Sprinkler Supply, Sprinkler World, those are really good places. They just have really good employees, I think, and they can really help with what they're looking for. That's where I would go, at least.
It's what they do. If you were farther north, Dirk's Plumbing does a good job. John Deere Landscapes does. But in this area, Sprinkler World, Sprinkler Supply are both good.
Okay, great. Hey, and can I ask you just one other question? I'm hoping to put a couple of bunches of fountain grass in there, and I know that this little bunny fountain grass works well in dry spots, but I'm wondering if there are some larger varieties. I've seen this Hemlin, and
yeah,
I wondered if
there's that
would
one.
Well,
and you could get beyond the fountain grasses. Those are good options, and they're at least moderately drought hardy, but there's a whole world of grasses out there. You could look at some of the switch grasses. There's one called Heavy Metal that's nice, another one called Shenandoah that goes a really nice burgundy red in the fall. The, man, northern, or not northern sea oats, but what am I trying to say? The fescues. There's so many grasses out there. One thing that you could do is just get on. I think USU has some really good grass fact sheets. If you just Google USU and ornamental grasses, they'll bring up some that do really well in the local climate.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, what is a good flowering bush to plant along a fence line as a barrier to keep pets away from the fence? They would like something that's flat, fast-growing and flowering, but it doesn't have to be. They have Syracuse soil.
Okay, Syracuse, is even, you know, unless they're below the bluff in Syracuse where it was never farmed, and even then there's things you can do. One I'd look at is Rose of Sharon. Those will get big by big, you know, 10 by 10, but they grow fast. They tolerate clay. They tolerate a little bit of salt, but they don't tolerate overwatering. And one other thing they're going to have to do is probably put up a temporary fence to keep the animals out of the area until the shrubs size up.
Next person wants to know, how do you get pumpkins, butternut, and spaghetti squash to grow up a wire arch to save room in a garden?
Train them up. They don't climb naturally.
Okay.
So you're going to have to train them up.
They'll do that without breaking?
Yeah, the fruit will develop a thick enough stem that it sticks.
Really?
Now, if you've got a 50-pound watermelon, you may have to support that. But as those vines grow and develop the fruit, they just develop a lot thicker stem and vine where so it doesn't collapse. Now, if you do that and get lots of squash, I'll just stick it straight. We won't be a comedian again. But
okay.
If you do that, you need to have a structure strong enough to support them. So, I mean, you can't go get a cheap, you know, box store, you know, trellising system that's going to fall apart because, you know, if you start getting squash on there and pumpkins, they're heavy. And you need something at least strong enough to support grapes.
All right, let's take a call from Sarah in Taylorsville. Good morning, Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. What is your question?
Yes, I was wondering, my daughter wants a start of my rhubarb, and I don't know if this is a good time to give her one or if I should wait till another time.
Wait for another time. If you dug that right now because it's actively growing, you could really damage it. A time to do that would be in either late fall or early spring before it breaks dormancy.
Oh, okay. I'm glad I called because I was going to take one out to her today. So
you
thanks
know,
so much.
There's rhubarb available at garden centers that would probably be under $6 or $8 for a container. And if they want to get one started, it may be just as easy to do that.
Okay, well, I guess I'm sort of prejudiced to this because this start grew in my father's yard, and yeah,
I'm
70 years
completely.
Old, so now you know, yeah, I mean, it is so hardy. I've moved it 5 times in my yard, and it is so healthy and so delicious, so I think she really wants some of this. So late fall or very early spring before it's
correct, as soon as the snow melts off.
Okay.
Thank you,
all right,
Sarah, for your
so
call
much.
This morning. You bet. And the KSL Greenhouse Show coming to you from Biograss with a big yellow bag. This is the day for your discount. You can go to bigyellowbag.com, put in the code KSL2021 for the discount. We'll be back with more of your calls and your questions coming up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for joining us for the final moments of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you. Let's take a call from Jerry, who's in South Jordan. Hi, Jerry. What is your question this morning?
I'm wondering if you can recommend a good fertilizer for my raspberry patch.
You can actually use just like 2100 for them, and that's fine.
2100.
Yes. Okay. And how many row feet do you have?
It's about 30 feet long and 6 feet wide.
So you have 30 feet long by 6 feet wide, 6 by 30. You're making me do math. That's about 200 square feet, approximately 210. So on that, I would probably use, maybe 3 to 4 pounds of 2100 just broadcast amongst the plants.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
All right, thank you for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, Ton, will coleus abide direct sunlight on a west exposure?
No, not really.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any hope for a 20-foot arborvitae, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong?
Arborvitae.
You say that. Okay. It looks dead after dry winter. Is there still hope for it?
They can wait and see if it forms new needles. There are a lot of conifers. We're getting calls on extension offices that went into winter drought-stressed. They were perfectly green in October, and over the winter they turned brown. Arborvitae in areas have been especially hard hit, getting lots of calls on Austrian pines.
I have to keep saying that over and over in my head. This person has lawn grass growing with their hibiscus plants. Will grass be gone kill the hibiscus if they use it to kill the grass?
Look at the labels and see. I don't think so, but they need to look at the label to make sure that perennial hibiscus is something that can be sprayed around. One thing they can do while they're dormant, if the grass is growing and they haven't come up, they can just use Roundup, because Roundup won't get to them because there's no foliage.
Kay in Alpine is wondering, she has a couple flats of alyssum and petunias, but she's worried that it might be still too early to plant them because she can see that there's a couple of lows near 33 overnight. Would they survive those temperatures overnight?
The alyssum should, but she needs to harden it. If it went straight from a greenhouse to outdoors at 33, it may be damaged, but if she'll put it out during the day and start to harden it, alyssum's actually good to probably 28 degrees. The petunias even will tolerate light frost, but I don't know that I would leave them in the flat out overnight.
I wouldn't.
Hayden, did you have a comment? I saw you over.
Nope, that's exactly right. I was going to say the same thing.
All right, let's take a call from Brian. Final call for the morning. Hi, Brian. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. So I have what looks like necrotic rings. You guys mentioned it just a few, let's see, like 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what you do to treat that. And then you mentioned getting deep roots in your lawn and what the best way to do that is.
Yeah, Hayden, do you have any advice on the necrotic ring spot?
So the best way to, you know, improve those root systems to kind of help fight against it would be to, you know, not water every single day and water very heavily on the days that you do. So 3 times a week around, you kind of, with an established lawn, would like to see about 2 inches of water per week. So about half an inch, maybe a little bit more if you're going to go 4 times a week. And really just get, pushing those, making those roots follow that water down into the soils to try and help get them in contact with more soil deeper in the ground. Is there anything you want to add to how to actually?
Yeah, that's what I would recommend. And then a fungicide, the spring's the best time to do a fungicide when we're consistently in the 70s. So another week or two, and there'll be the timing for a fungicide. And then you may, if it doesn't go away, and sometimes it doesn't, you may have to aerate those areas fairly heavily and then top dress with something like turf-type tall fescue that is resistant or immune to the necrotic ring spot.
All right, we are coming to you from BioGrass today. We've had such a great time being here. Hayden, I want to make sure we don't run out of time. We want to tell people that this is the day to get their discount on the big yellow bag. Tell us about the discount again.
The discount, yes. The bag is regularly priced at $149. That's delivered. And if you order today, we are doing $20 off that price for your first bag and $35 off any additional bags. So you can either go onto our website, bigyellowbag.com, and use the code KSL2021, or you can call us at 801-562-9090 to get that $20 off your first and $35 off any additional bags.
Tell us about the products in your big yellow bags.
We have four products. One, our most popular, is a black garden soil. Very great dark color, beautiful for top dressing or amending soil. And then we have a premium top soil and two decorative barks. We have a light natural color and a dark chocolate.
Okay, we have one more question for you both before we end the show. And this one says, have you ever experimented with germinating grass seed before planting it? They understand that it won't grow until soil conditions are correct.
Well, it's hardened. You don't need to harden grass seed off or freeze it or anything. It's already ready to go. And so they can just broadcast and it'll come up when soil temperatures are correct.
That's right.
So the other thing I would look at is that, well, this is a topic for another time. We'll just leave it at that for now. I don't want to go over for short on time.
Okay. Well, you have 1 minute.
Well, golf courses will get sand or a product called Turface, which is kind of similar to perlite. And they will put grass seed in it and moisten the perlite to the consistency of a wrung-out sponge, put a lid on a container, and let it sit for 4 or 5 days. This will usually be rye, but you can do it with any grass. And they'll let it sit, and then when they need to go repair all the divots and things, they take a scoop out, wipe it on, and that grass will germinate within a few days. And that way, it's less maintenance trying to keep it wet, because they know that it's going to germinate within a day or two of putting it on. But that's a very specific use case on, say, pre-germing seed. And they're not really. They're just putting it down right before it's going to germinate.
All right. Thank you for joining us today for the KSL Greenhouse. We've been coming to you from BioGrass. You can go to thebigyellowbag.com, put in the code KSL2021 for the discount. And a reminder, if you're planting your spring containers today, check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And check out our video that we put together on putting together those containers. You can also check out the YouTube channel, the KSL Greenhouse YouTube channel.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready, because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.